Hello, everybody. We're at it again. I am so glad that we're here for the One Small Change podcast. And I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring over 30 years of entrepreneurial experience and passion for discovering growth through the power of seemingly small change. And I want to thank you for joining me again this week in this journey of exploration and transformation. And I'm going to share, and also my guests, we'll share some smaller, unexpected change that had, a remarkable transformation in their growth, either their personal or professional or both. And so my guest today is Teepak Shaini. And I just want to say this. We have had some interesting experiences together, but I am so glad that he's still willing to talk to me. So, Deepak, how are you today?
I'm doing great. The weather's nice. It's sun is shining. I'm doing fantastic.
So, I want our audience to know what you do and what was, and why you do it, and kind of what the one small change is that had that unexpected impact on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, really quickly, there's a couple things I do. I'm kind of in definitely in the health space, as people can see there, Deepak Saini Health, and we'll get to how I got here because that was not my first career. I tend to work with entrepreneurs, and I have two different offerings, and I won't get into too much detail, but essentially, my high-end offering for successful entrepreneurs is for those who, they probably are saying to themselves, "I'm a little bit heavier than I used to be. I'm a little bit more tired than I used to be. I'm not having the type of fun I used to have," and that maybe is in the bedroom or otherwise. And they're ready to make those changes and actually really look at their life. And many times entrepreneurs can understand they've built so busy building their business that they put some of their personal life, including their health, on the back burner, and they're conscious enough to make that change. So that's kind of one group. And then the other group I work with are people who are more just, they realize they have limiting beliefs, they have some emotional regulation issues, and they want to handle that. They want to get rid of some of those negative emotions, get some of those rid of those limiting beliefs, and move their life forward, either in their personal life or for their business. And hey, we've all been there, and it's always it's a challenge. So that's who I work with. But to your question of one small change, let me just take a step backwards. So my first profession, as I said, being in the health field wasn't my first thing. I'm a CPA by first profession. I was a accountant in corporate finance, corporate accounting for over 20 years. I was someone who always struggled with my health. Yvonne, you didn't know me back then, but I was morbidly obese as a teenager, 100 pounds heavier than I am now. Autoimmune condition my entire life. I get chronically sick, three, four times a year for weeks on end. You're just getting better and you just think you're moving forward and then get sick again. That was essentially me almost my entire life. But what really was my turning point was in 2014. My youngest daughter, excuse me, was just a baby, and I hurt my back. Hurt my back so bad I couldn't bend over at the waist. I had no flexion. So I couldn't essentially do anything. Couldn't golf anymore. I couldn't run. Very painful to move. Very painful getting in and out of a chair. That includes the toilet. But I couldn't pick up my youngest daughter out of her crib. So that was my turning point in trying to heal myself and find the modalities to heal myself. And I mean, we can take this line of thinking if you want, but I like to say the Western medical system wasted 18 months of my health and had no answers for me. I found all alternative means, alternative modalities, if you will, healed myself, and that started my transition of just thinking differently and what was actually available for me in my life. And I realized I was thinking very scarcity mindset, very small. And when I opened my mindset of what's possible for my health, that's what everything kind of started from, changed that, and that what led me to doing what I'm doing today is as far as a profession.
I don't know that I ever shared with you that at one point I was 440 pounds
No, you did not share that.
and lost 150. Well, actually, I lost more than that, but I kept off 150. And my small change that made that happen was that I was going to be a grandmother. And I wanted to be an active grandmother with my grandchild. I did not, my grandmother, who I loved dearly, I jokingly said was five, five by five. She was 5 foot tall and 5 foot round. I mean, she just, was a little butterball of love. But I didn't want that to be me. And so I think, part of the big thing that came out of that is we know how most of the time. We just don't have a big enough why. And that's what I think taps into your vision. And that is for me, I had gone to doctors, I had done all kinds of stuff, I'd gone on kinds of diets and what have you. But the fact that I had a grandchild coming was the big why that the change that I needed, why it was actually important to do this.
Yvonne, thank you for sharing that. I did not know that for how long we've known each other for like over a year now. I never heard that story. So thank you for sharing that. And two things I'll say. Number one, yes, many of my clients that come to me for any of the work that I do is either A, they've become grandparents or recently become grandparents, or they've become parents and they want to like that. It's a wake up call for sure. And I love that you said the why, because again, for me, that's what it boils down to, was my why. I wanted to be able to pick up my youngest daughter and be active with my older daughter. I'm the kind type of dad, at least when they were younger, they're too big now, but throw the kids up in the air and spin them around and all these kind of things. I'm like, I couldn't do that anymore. So my why at that time was just to like be able to do those things again. And now my why to this day is basically the same, essentially the same. It's like, I remember how crummy life was. That was 10 years ago. I remember how crummy life was when I couldn't move and do those things. And I never want to go back there. So all my personal practices for my own health line up in that fashion. And again, that's the first thing I talk with my clients, regardless of what they're coming to me for or how we're working together, is like, what is your why? Why do you want to make this change? So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and I think part of that has to do, I think the other piece that was really important for me was that I needed to find I one of the misconceptions that I find all the time is that, or at least that I had, was I had a professional persona and I had a personal persona. And what I've discovered is when you come up with philosophies or whatever you're doing, and you can incorporate in them into both, you're so much more relaxed because there's just one you, right? And not only that, it reinforces itself in a lot of different ways. And so for me, one of the weird exercises that I came up with, mental exercises, was I said, when did I feel like I was at my best? And it was I was 21, and I came up with three words. But the most powerful one was from a friend of mine who knew me when then, and she said, "You were the most adventurous person I'd ever met." And at 440 pounds, just going up and down the stairs was like there was no adventure, there was no spontaneity.
Right.
And so everything after that, I would say, both in my work and my personal, how can I make this adventuresome? How can I make this, my husband said I was the most intriguing woman he'd ever met. So it was kind of like I was writing these really dull reports, and it was like, how can I put something kind of quirky in it and intriguing? And I'm sure they edited it out, but it made me feel good. And so that's, it kind of combined what I was looking to achieve in my personal life along with my business life. So that I was living it, 24/7 in all parts of it.
Yeah,
So let
we
me
have to
ask.
live our truth, regardless of our, we have to live our truth. We can't be living a persona or what have you. And if we do, and sometimes for a short period or whatever the purpose, in the end, it's not sustainable, and eventually it'll bite us in the butt.
So the question, my audience is predominantly entrepreneurial women. And so one of the things that I'd like to find out from you is, as you went into these different modalities, what were some of the things that you found that surprised you or that helped you a lot?
Yeah, great question. Like you said earlier, Yvonne, you said something to the effect of like, I knew what to do. We all know what to do from a conceptual level. I'm gonna answer this a little bit in two ways in two different aspects to give a complete answer. So from a physical kind of health point of view, yes, we all know what to do, but again, tying it to your why. as we just discussed, you know, what's truly important, what's going to sustain us when, you know, that it becomes hard to make that that decision, right? That putting down that second glass of wine or passing on that cake or whatever the case may be in that sense. So really, really tied to that. But also it's like, there's no one size fits all. There's no one perfect diet for everyone or nutrition plan or exercise plan or whatever. It's really getting to that nuance. Again, with my clients, I, you know, I'm a really big proponent of testing, and not that testing is the be all end all, but you know, it's having, you know, your genetic markers, your microbiome, having your metabolics, blood work, et cetera, tying that to your lifestyle goals, your ethnicity, your cultural norms, your family's dynamics, et cetera, and tying all these together. That's the secret sauce, because it just can't be like do this or do that if that doesn't resonate. Or from a epigenetical point of view, it will never work because it's not a line for you. So that's one piece. That's kind of the physical. The other part is actually the inner game, if you will, which is what I'm really leaning into more so now. And you know, not only from myself with my clients, but also myself. And I'm continues to do this work on myself, because hey, no one's perfect. Deepak's really not perfect. Is, you know, what are the limiting beliefs? You know, what are the things holding me back? What are some of the emotional regulation things? While much approved are not perfect, not that they ever will be perfect. And I like to say this as well, regardless of where you are on your journey and how and your success level, and success can be defined many different ways, right? In our personal relationships, can be money in our in businesses, etc. And Yvonne, we know some of these same people or who we would both consider, you know, like, oh, they're so much more successful, I aspire to be them one day. Hey, they all have limiting beliefs themselves. Sometimes they're the same things we struggle with, or the scale is different. But everyone has them. So this, I think these are things we continuously need to work on. And what I find, the more I'm steeped in this community, and the more I work with entrepreneurs, the more it actually comes up. It's that inner game that's actually holding them back. It's the limiting beliefs. It's the emotional regulation, trauma, even past traumas, and that type of thing. So that's been, I don't want to say a wake up call, because we intuitively all know this, but now that I do more of this work and I work more and more with people, you know, I was working with someone this morning. We talked about, and you know, their procrastination. I know what I need to do to build my business. I know I need to make the phone calls. I'm just stuck. So it's okay. Well, let's break this. Let's break it and get you from procrastination to motivation.
Well, the thing, you know, one of the things that I say to people is it's progress, not, you know, perfection. It's kind of like peeling the onion. And every time you get a little bit better, you hear different things. You may have, I mean, I just, somebody that I did for another podcast, they said something on the podcast that I'm sure they've said to me for the last year. And I finally went, oh my God, is this what you've been talking about? And I think the other thing is, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, what I see so often is people, and whether it has to do with food or whether it has to do with their business and a program, they try to follow a guru, you know, and follow the steps. But what I say is you need situational awareness. You need to feel confident enough that you can adjust and tweak and make it work for you. Do you know? And so one of the weird things that has just happened is I made a big push to get my cholesterol down. It wasn't bad, but my husband's was a little bad. And we went to more plant-based eating. And so I just got a call from my doctor that my iron is really low because we'd given up a lot of meat and we hadn't adjusted accordingly. And it's like, it was never real high to begin with, when, you know, but I said to my husband, I think that's probably why the last couple of weeks I've been saying, I really want you to cook some meat. I really want some meat. And so
your body was sending you the signal.
Was sending me the signal. And, it, you know, it's kind of like it's, you know, the making those adjustments. And the other weird thing is, you know, I used to, when I first lost my first 100 pounds, I did a lot of health coaching. And, you know, people are like, I have to give up this and I have to, and I'm like, no, you know, make a decision about something you can live with. You know, I mean, I could not give up chocolate or coffee for the rest of my life. I mean, it maybe, but not, a, you know, and the weird thing is I have found this brownie that I make that's high in fiber and it's got walnuts in it and has chia seeds and oatmeal and stuff like that. And I have it every night and it does not spike my blood sugar. I mean, when I talked to my endocrinologist, he was like, I said, I eat it between 8 and 9 every night. He goes, your blood sugar looks fine. And my A1C has been going down and I don't crave the other junk food. It's like, I've got my brownie every night, And so it seems counterintuitive. I don't have a whole sheet cake. I have a little dish, but it seems counterintuitive, but it works for me mentally and physically, because I've adapted it. I tried it once with bananas, because I need potassium and that just made my sugar go up. And so you have to be able to be your own advocate. And I think that's what we've kind of lost. And and to tie this back just in general, it comes from my explanation of us coming out of an industrial society because our educational society teaches you not to be creative and think out of the box. It teaches you to follow instructions and be a follower. And so now we're in the information.
Absolutely.
Now we're in the information society and we have lots of information, but we don't know how to filter it or to implement it.
Yeah, you made a key point there. There's so many things you just said there, Yvonne. So, yeah, the last point, filter, that's the most important thing. Filter the information. Again, that's why it's good to have listen to many viewpoints and not just listen to one channel or one guru or one coach. And just again using myself, I have multiple coaches that I work with for different things, and even in those specific realms, I look at various opinions as well, and then I can bring that to the person that I'm actually paying to work with me for whatever the case may be. And you're absolutely right. The education system or the system in general is meant to good worker bees who worked in factories in the 1940s and 50s. We don't live in that age anymore, exactly, like you said. And I love back to your brownie examples. Like, there's no one size fits all for someone, right? Like, just one ingredient in your brownie could be the thing that spikes them. It doesn't spike for you. Awesome, amazing if you found a thing. For somebody else, it totally could be something that spikes their blood sugar or causes them inflammation, or what have you, right? So we gotta figure out these things out. Again, it's highly individualized. There's no one size fits all. And I guess back to my last point too, that something you brought came to mind earlier, and I didn't want to interrupt you. That's why I'm a big fan of like going back to a book. Every maybe 2 or 3 years later, and reading the same book again, even though you might have your highlights and flags and whatever someone does, or at least that's what I do, you're in a different place. You're a different person now, and the way you think and the questions you ask yourself are different. And now you're like, oh, now I really understand what the author is saying, or maybe not. It's just like, oh, I have a different perspective of what they're saying now, and something different can come up. So, no, you can see behind me, I got all these books, and even the top shelf, you can't see, that I and I just periodically, every couple of years, go back to them again and just get new things.
Well, that's my thing where I say every once in a while you just need to go back to basics. Go back to where you started. Right, and take a look and see what your frame of mind was, and it's funny because one time I made a list of all the tools that I had created, and I had like a list of about 36. And when I went back and I looked at them, some of the ones that I did in the beginning were the best because they weren't, they were very simple, and it's like I can add to this. I can now see why this works, because I'm smarter and I can add to it. And it's funny because I go back and I go, boy, that was good. This makes so much sense. I'm going to start using this again because you're bringing more, you started with a certain perspective, a certain, I want to say it was kind of an uncluttered perspective before you got so involved in other people. It was really yours. And now you have other things that you can bring with it. So when you go back to the basics and you enhance it, it's even better than it was before. So I absolutely agree with you on that. And I think the industrial mindset, unfortunately, I think has a lot to do with our limiting beliefs. One of the examples I always use is, for a long time, even now, I don't think anybody in my family knows what I do. They don't quite understand what
Yeah, I
cooking
don't think they know
is,
what I do either. My family. Don't
right?
worry. Don't worry about Yvonne.
And so forever, my mom would say, because I have a Wharton MBA, so her thing is, why don't you just get a job? Because that's the industrial way. You go and you get education and you get a job and you work there. It used to be that you worked for 30 years, but now you don't. And so, even if you do get a job, part of your responsibility for yourself is to educate yourself as much as you can from what's available at that job. So when, for whatever reason, you have to leave, you've got a better product in yourself. Do you know? Because those skills are portable. But I think the mindset is, I have to do it this way. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say, or, it's not my job, or it's outside my role, kind of thing. And I see that all the time, because it's like somebody grinds away the thing that makes you unique. You started out with this wonderful individuality, and when you're finished, you're just a little round pebble.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with our school system, right? Like, there's no 5, 7-year-olds who are stressed out and blah, blah, blah. No imagination, no creativity, right? Like, we beat it out of people. Don't sit at your desk. Don't move.
Color
Stare at the
within the
wall.
lines. Color
Color
within
in the
the lines.
lines. Yeah, exactly.
The
Exactly.
grass is always green. I mean, that was what I remember my mom saying to me. The grass can't be purple, but those
Yeah.
kinds of things. All right, but before we run out of time, can you give us a couple action steps that can help us, that people can actually start using?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So a couple of things here. So let me go a little bit meta and then kind of boil it down to some action steps. So I guess the number one is, I'm a big proponent with my clients or otherwise, and certainly for myself, is just like really, really focusing on what do we truly want, and what is maybe truly missing. So maybe that's doing, we need to do some inner game work. Again, we're talking to entrepreneurs primarily here, and there's tons of tactics and marketing and all this stuff, but if you have limiting beliefs, none of that's going to make a difference. No, I shouldn't say that. You're gonna make some progress, but you can make so much more progress if you had your inner game in check. So whatever that is for you is really be aware of that at a high level, at a meta level, and then kind of work your way down. I'm a huge proponent of doing certain things to just like reset ourselves. So maybe that's taking a breath. Maybe that's meditation. Certainly doing some exercise. You're feeling struggling with a problem, go outside in nature and go for a walk. Trust me, the solution will probably come to you. Just do basic things. And if you can do these basic things, so much of our anxieties and our tensions and our conflicts will just melt away. And yeah, there's gonna be other stuff, and we got to do some more advanced things, but just do the basics. Clean water, clean air, eat healthy, move a little bit, get out in the sunshine, and just learn to breathe properly. Meditate if you want to, or Tai Chi, or whatever is your thing, and half your problems are solved right there.
And you know what? I think what people need to understand is, there are things in each of those that you can do. So, for instance, I admit that I have some mobility issues, but if I go online, I have a 10-minute Tai Chi, seated Tai Chi that I can do. That's great, because if I have like 20 minutes before the next call, I can slip that in. I mean, that was the one thing that I learned, was to have a variety. If you say you're going to exercise, have a variety of ways that you can do that. So if it rains, you go, well, I can't go outside because it's raining. Well, you've got something else you can do, or you can buy a raincoat, which is what I did when I got a dog. The dog still had to go out, and I used to say that was my best exercise thing.
Having a dog is a great exercise motivator because you have to get outside, and even if it's a slow pace and only 5 minutes, you're still moving.
And you cannot hang your clothes on it. That's the other thing that's really
They don't
important.
like, that's been my experience. They don't like when you drape your clothes on top of your dog.
That's right. The last thing is, what's the freebie? What's the gift you're going to give us?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of to my last point there, it's a guide. For the successful entrepreneur, seven action steps that you can take. And so at the beginning, just like kind of read about them and why they're beneficial, not only to your health, but also to your business. And then at the end of it is 30 days of tracking. So of these habit changes or habits you want to implement. So now I'm going to be perfectly clear. Do not try all seven at once. You're setting yourself up for failure. Choose one, maybe two, no more than two at a time. Choose one or two, track it for 30 days. If it resonates with you, great. Keep doing that. You built a new habit. If it doesn't, that's fine too. Go back to the beginning, pick another one. And at the end of some period of time, of those seven, maybe there's a handful, maybe there's all seven, you've picked up a new healthy habit for you that you can incorporate into your life.
Fantastic. I absolutely believe in trackers. I don't know what your tracker looks like, but I have to tell you, and this is another thing about picking something that works for you. I am not a journaler. I don't want a food journal. It's kind of like I know what I ate and I don't want to write it down. And the other part is if there's a lesson I learned, I don't know how to find it in a journal. So I have a tracker too that I we'll share with you a different time. So here's the question. Here's the teaser. When was the last time that you did something new for the first time?
When was the last time I did something new for the first time? Great question. Let me think. Last Thursday. Last Thursday, I did something new. Yeah.
Do you want to share?
You want to share? Yes, absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of. And I think there's great research coming out of many places, John Hopkins and others as well, of using the right psychedelic medicine in the right dose for the right intention and purpose. And I want to be very clear about this, right intention, purpose, dose. I had the opportunity last Thursday to try one psychedelic medicine that I had never tried before, and again, the right setting and in a heart opening heart-centered way in a mastermind setting. And yeah, I was not expecting that. That was not on the agenda, so to speak, but it was offered and it made sense. So I tried it and yeah, it was fine. There was a little bit of a carry forward for a couple days, which was maybe not the best, but totally open to trying, because again, I'm a bit of a self-experimenter and I totally believe in the work you can do in PTSD and other things like that. So if these are things that, again, I don't do that myself, obviously. But if I'm going to recommend that to a client, with the right person and the right professional, et cetera, I want to be able to share my experience. I'm not going to test every single thing out there, but I want to be able to have that experience that I can personal experience that I can relay with my clients if I feel that's going to serve them in the best way. So yeah, that's something new that I tried.
That really is something new. So thank you for sharing that with us. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows. I kind of hate to wind this up because I realize that we have ground that we've never explored. So we probably could go on talking for quite a while, but this is only a 30-minute show. And so I have a couple of things that I need to make sure that I say, and that is be sure you subscribe and share, and tell people about the podcast. I would love it. It's my way of trying to give back to the community and, fueling your quest for growth and impact. And you can always join me for the One Small Change podcast every week. It comes out on Friday. So the last thing is, if you had, like last words of wisdom to share with everybody, what would it be?
I would say if you really take a moment and reflect upon yourself, you'll probably find that there's something that you feel is missing or lacking. Could be in your health, physical health, could be in your mental health, emotional health, whatever the case may be. Take one step, take one small step. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Take one positive step. And try something out and just incrementally work on whatever it is for you. And I think that's all. Don't grander of I need to lose 100 pounds. Just lose 5. or I need to run a marathon, get off the couch. Whatever the case is for you, just take one small step. And I think that's those habits and those small steps build on each other. And I think then over the long term, that's where we are in our grandeur. So yeah, just take one small step.
I absolutely believe in that. If I often say, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you got. So, guys, this has been fantastic. I hope everybody got as much out of this as I did. And I want you to remember that change can be simple, but it isn't always easy. And it does require a certain amount of courage and resilience and a willingness. I have lip lock today. And a willingness to step outside your comfort zone. So I hope you will join me again for one small change and see what innovative possibilities you can come up with. And until then, stay curious. This is Yvonne McCoy. Join us next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.